Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now to talk some NFL draft is the former general manager of the Redskins and Texans, Charlie Casserly. He's also, of course, on the NFL Network and NBC Sports Washington. He has a draft special coming out focusing on some of the locals like DJ Moore and Kyle Laletta and the Edmonds brothers. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Good morning, man. How are we doing?
Hello,
doing,
Charlie. Are you depressed like us after watching the Caps lose last night?
Yeah, did you watch?
No, I didn't watch, okay? But I was thinking about the song that we play when I come on.
Yeah.
About the people, and it's so bad, we got to get up on the roof.
Right,
right, right.
A little prophetic about this weekend.
Huh? Right.
It was so, a bad weekend.
What do you do, Charlie? I'm just telling these guys, and I'm as guilty of it as anyone, because I'm a big fan, right? Winning is just not easy. We take it as fans like it's so hard to win. You know what I mean? It's not a curse. It's not, you know, any other kind of wacky thing you come up with. My theory is it's really hard to win. You got to have the right pieces in place. You have to have luck that goes in your favor. You might have to have a genius or two in the organization to help kind of guide you. And even that alone won't do it, right? Everything has to come together to win a championship.
No, it does. And you talk about, I mean, lost two games in overtime.
Right.
Not like they got blown out.
Right.
And I don't follow hockey that closely, but just reading some stats coming into the playoffs,
It
sounded like Columbus was coming in pretty hot and playing well. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, he went with the popular choice at the goalie, and that didn't work out.
Okay? Right.
And that you could see that was going to be a tough decision for him.
Right.
So hopefully, you know, last year against Pittsburgh, they were down 2-0, came back, got to game 7. Hopefully they can, you know, have that kind of turnaround here.
By the way, the Caps have lost 9 of their last 15 playoff overtime games.
Look at my not surprised face from that stat, Jason.
So they're 9 of their last 15.
Yeah, that's not a good percentage when they're tied at the end of 3, right?
It's not. You want to be on the winning side of that.
All right, so tell us, Charlie, let's start with DJ Moore, because we had a big fight about him a couple months ago about how good or good he wasn't. He seems to be zooming up everybody's board.
Yeah, I think it's people just become more aware of him in the media, as opposed to the teams. When I polled teams at the end of the season, they had him as a second-round pick. I looked at tape. I saw a second-round pick. This is not a strong draft class. Then, after we had the workout with him, which will be on television tonight, I could see the explosion and the quickness coming off the ball, which sometimes you don't see on the tape. What you do see on the tape is when he catches it, he is really explosive on that first step. So I think this guy could go late. One, and certainly will be eaten up in the second round. I think as a number two receiver, I think the guy will be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the other local kids? Let's talk about Kyle Laletta from Richmond. I'm just looking at a mock draft here. I know mock drafts mean nothing, but they got him going to New England late second. What have you noticed about Kyle Laletta out of Richmond?
Well, that's kind of a popular theory here because New England needs a quarterback. When Garoppolo came out, Garoppolo was projected to be a third, and they took him in the second, which was smart. Always take a guy around ahead if you really like the guy. The first thing that'll get you is the personality. He's got a smile on his face. He's really smart. The guy's an outgoing personality. You could see this guy will be a natural leader as he grows with the team he goes to in the NFL. Throwing talent, the guy can do everything. He's got a quick release. He's got a strong arm. He's very good outside the pocket. When you watch the tape, the two things, the deep accuracy is off, and sometimes he'll hold the ball. Now, when we worked him out, the deep accuracy was very good, and then I put him through a drill where he had to read defenses, and he handled it pretty easily. I think those things, the deep accuracy is something you're either good at or you're not. So I think this guy probably is better than the games that I watched him, and I think holding the ball, that's something that'll come out with the system he's in because he's smart and he won't do it. So I think this guy is a guy that hit the Senior Bowl, all of a sudden got to a different level, got into a maybe different system, and then jumped out and showed what he could do. So I don't think he's as good as Garoppolo coming out, but the second to New England makes a lot of sense.
How big is he?
You know, I don't remember what he is. I usually don't pay that much attention.
Well,
to those
things, but ballpark.
The guy seemed to be tall.
Ballpark, 6'3"?
Yeah, probably in the 6'2 to 6'3 range, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't see height being an issue with him.
Do you believe that five quarterbacks will be drafted in the top 15?
No, because I don't see Lamar Jackson going that high. Now, let me say this. I wouldn't take Lamar Jackson that high. Mm-hmm. What teams are going to do, I have no idea. Okay, these things are kind of getting going all over the place. One of my projects this week is to try to find out a little bit more about Lamar Jackson. I know what teams thought of him at the end of the first, at the end of the season, late one to an early two. Okay, mm-hmm. That shouldn't change just because people put him in different spots. You know, they may be guessing there too. I don't know. I wouldn't take him there.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Charlie Casley, former GM of the Redskins, he has his draft special, which airs tonight at 6 p.m. on NBC Sports Washington. I kind of wanted your take on Josh Allen. I saw a stat yesterday somebody was throwing out there as kind of a warning sign that when he was playing junior college football, his completion percentage was under 50%. And then, obviously, the last couple of years, his completion percentage has been high. Accuracy has been the rap against him. What do you see in Josh Allen?
Yeah, kind of the stat shows up on the tape. The positive is, big, strong arm guy. And this guy makes the wild throws. And he does it on more often than not, so it's not just a one-time thing. Can run, can make plays outside the pocket. I made a note in my note when I wrote writing him up, I said, this guy can throw on the run. The problem is he's always on the run, okay, because he doesn't have any pass protection. But his ability to see it, react to it quickly, I think that's a legitimate question. Is it learning? Is it instincts? Is it system? That's what coaches have to find out in the spring when they study the tape with him and work him out. And this guy will miss balls. Now, the accuracy may not be quite as bad as the stat because he does have a number of drops, but accuracy is something that doesn't get better. I had him as my fourth quarterback. Now, Rosen's the guy that the personality is going to make him two or four, depending upon how you can read, how you like his personality. He's got the best talent to draft, but he won't be the first quarterback.
Mm-hmm. All right, what about the Edmonds brothers down at Tech? Tremaine, he's projected mid-first round. His brother Terrell, I don't know where he's projected. But, I mean, what genetics, man, with the Edmonds, Trey Edmonds. Was Trey Edmonds with the Saints last year? Who was he with last year?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Tremaine, as far as the linebacker goes, best linebacker in the draft. It's where somebody wants to take this guy. This guy could go in the top 10. He'll go before 15. Mm-hmm. Now, his brother, I like his brother. I think his brother's a second-round pick. It's sort of a stronger safety draft than normal, and there's not a lot of teams that will need a safety high, so the safeties will slide some. But I think somebody gets this guy in a second, they're going to get a hell of a pick. Because I think this guy will start and be good.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a feeling of what Cleveland will do at one?
No, I don't, other than a quarterback.
Right.
Darnold, to me, is the number one quarterback in the draft, and I think that's what they should do. The popular wave of media right now is Josh Allen. I don't know if that's true or not.
I'm hearing a lot about Mayfield, too. Like, he's skyrocketing.
Well, with Cleveland?
Well, I think maybe not Cleveland, but maybe with the Jets.
Well, it could be. Here's Mayfield. A guy is the negative perceptually is his personality. Teams don't feel that's an issue. They feel that'll clean itself up in the NFL, and it's more of a positive than a negative, the competitiveness on him. I think he's going to be best in a rhythm passing game where the ball comes out quick, plays you get him outside the pocket, and I think those are the things that he's best. Now, his accuracy and his decision-making, you know, that needs some polishing. He's better than Allen. He's going to have to learn a pro system, but I think he can do that because when you watch him at the Senior Bowl, the foot quickness and the release were outstanding, and that's what you have to have in the NFL is get it out quick. So if you're in a system, and I said this on television, okay, when your book on him is he needs to be in a rhythm passing game where it comes out quick. And I said, that's the first thing I said about the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, Kirk Cousins.
Charlie,
okay, now go ahead.
Pivoting to the Redskins here, do they have the luxury of drafting a running back at 13 like a Darius Geis out of LSU, or do they have to go defense with that first pick, in your opinion?
They have to get a player, okay? And depending upon who's there, if Vita Vea is there, I'd take him. This guy, to me, is Haloti Ngata coming out of college, but he's better than Ngata in college because he gives you a better motor and gives you more production. I think Payne of Alabama would be a good discussion. Derwin James would be a good discussion in there. I think they're probably both better than I think James is better than Geis. I think Geis might be better than Payne. But there's a chance they can get a running back in the second round because I got six running backs rated in the first round.
Wow.
So there's a chance they could get a good one.
Who
in the
are
second
your six?
Round.
We obviously know Geis and Barkley. Who else do you have?
We've got Ronald Jones of USC, who won't go in the first round. Okay, kind of some coaching issues there as an underclassman. Then as a senior, he blossomed. Sonny Michel, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb of Georgia. And then Rashad Penny of San Diego State.
Hmm.
So they one of those should be there where they pick in the second round, which would be an upgrade of where they are.
Right.
Hey, I'm wondering if when San Francisco picks at 9, obviously if Barkley were to slip all the way to 9, they would jump on him, but I don't think he will.
That can't happen, can it?
No, I'm just saying, yeah. If he was available, they would obviously jump on him. But Reuben Foster is a disaster, and he may have to go to jail for a couple of years.
Right, not available.
Right. So I'm just wondering if Roquan Smith out of Georgia is someone you have Tremaine Edmonds as your number one back or linebacker. Where do you have Smith? And then you think at 9 they could jump on Smith to replace Foster?
Smith is number 2 as a linebacker. Smith would be an excellent pick in their system. They're a 4-3 system. They want linebackers that are athletic, that can run, can chase, and cover. That's exactly what Romaine Smith is, Romaine Smith. They need a rusher, though. And the question to me was, would they take Davenport of Texas San Antonio there? Mm-hmm. Because that's their number one need on defense is a rusher. You're right about Foster. Now, again, this isn't a surprise. I'm not saying you pick a guy and say, I know he's going to do that. No. But the guy had issues coming out of college.
Yeah, he did.
And that's where they were medical and other than that's why the guy went there. Okay. So when everybody was raving about their draft, it was timeout. Solomon Thomas can't rush the passer from end, and that's what you took him for. And this other guy is a buyer beware guy.
Right.
So, they took a chance
on him and they whiffed. I mean, they took a chance and it just didn't work out.
Yeah, but what does it tell you, Charlie? They haven't flat out released him yet. I mean, any other team, I feel like, even though he's a high draft pick, would have, by now, they would have moved on.
Well, not knowing all the facts, but two things I would think right away. First of all, the guy is a good player. Okay,
right.
So we're going to do everything we can to keep this player, but, okay, let's make sure these facts are correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I can think of is they want to make sure 100% mm-hmm. if they're going to cut him, the facts are 100% right. So that's the thing there.
But if they are right, he's probably going to jail.
Then we won't have to worry about where he's playing
right.
next year, will we?
Exactly.
So, what is your take, Charlie, on what the Cowboys did with Dez? I mean, I understand, big number, less production. People can obviously see the decline in the last couple of years. But why wait so long? Seems like they did a disservice to him. And then where do you see him fitting in? Have you thought about that at all?
Waiting so long, from the team's point of view, they probably wanted to go as long as they could to see what they could do and get close to the draft to project who they maybe could get and who they had as replacements. That's number one. Number two, I think it's about money. There's no question, even though it's reported it was never talked about. It's certainly money was part of it. I think the bigger picture was the attitude. Dez is a guy that, remember, coming out of college, he was drafted late because of, quote, issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cowboys took a chance on him, put a big support group around him. But I think the guy is still inconsistent. We just don't read about it as far as doing the things he's supposed to do. If you don't get him the ball early, it becomes a problem. I think he was hurting Prescott, okay, as a quarterback, because Prescott now is being forced to throw to him, and that was hurting him. They don't have a guy better than him. Right now, if you press him, look at it this way. Rashad Breeland could cover this guy. Just press him. You take him out of the game, say, if you're a size corner. I don't know where he's going to go. He's a number two right now and shouldn't get a big contract. Okay, those are the two things I know, and you better understand the personality.
Right.
He's going to say all the right things, but history says he's not going to be the most reliable guy.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. All right, thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it as always, buddy.
All right, good. And once again, 6 o'clock tonight, NBC Sports Washington, our draft special, and we also have it on airing at 10 p.m. tonight.
Very nice. Excellent, excellent. All right, thank you, buddy.
Okay.
6 o'clock.
I might catch
the draft special.
I'm catching the 10.
10's a little late.
And it does focus on the locals like DJ Moore, Kyle Loletta, and Edmonds.
I believe he sprinkled some of his magic pixie dust on Yannick Ngakoue from Maryland. He put him through the paces in one of these a few years ago, and that guy's doing work in Jacksonville.
Is that good genetics? When Farrell Edmonds used to play tight end for the Terps, going to have three kids in the NFL?
I would say that's really good genetics.
Is that
yes.
pretty good?
Yeah, I think it is.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our buddy Alan May, Caps analyst for NBC Sports Washington. What's up, Alan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just
punch
we're up, I guess.
It's not a good morning.
It's not really that good.
Come on, dude.
No, it's ugly. It reminds me of last year when the Caps got beat out of the playoffs, all that rain the following day. So hopefully we get the worst of it out of the here today and the team finds a way to bounce back in the series.
You know, Alan, if before yesterday's game somebody came up to you and said, Jay Beagle's going to return and score a goal and Ovi's going to score twice, you're going to feel pretty good about the Caps' chances of winning the game.
And by the way, we're going to have 58 shots on goal.
Right.
Damn right you would. And, you know, the Ovi part especially, him scoring two goals and, you know, the Jay Beagle stat, I was happy to have him back on the ice and you know, he's so important killing penalties and he's important winning those faceoffs that help kill the penalties. But, you know, the stat that everyone always comes up with, the Caps are 46-1 when Jay Beagle scores a goal. You know, that stuff always goes out the window in the playoffs. So I'm never into any of that. But I think the 58 shots, the way they played as hard as they did in the first period, the way they came on in the third period was one of the best periods I've ever seen. And, you know, I would have thought that they would have found a way to win that game last night.
By the way, oftentimes during the year, you're in studio and you're doing, you know, pregame and postgame. Do you enjoy the in-game broadcasting?
I absolutely love it. That's probably, you know what, it's the best seat besides sitting on the bench or in the penalty box in the house to be down there. You feel the arena. You can see a lot of the things that are going on, all the interactions on the bench. So it is a great feeling. I get about 35 games down there every season, and it to me, it's spectacular. It really feels like you're part of it when you're on the ice.
Al, you almost took a puck to the dome last night late
saw
in the game.
That great
puck
instinct.
Came ringing around in that little box you're in. That had to be scary for a second.
Well, the game before, actually, four pucks hit the boards right in front of me when the defenseman did a long pass out of the zone and the forward just tried to redirect it all the way to the far end. And I was standing up, and normally Ken Sabourin, the radio guy, and my old roommate for the Caps, he's normally there. And, you know, Kenny's about 6'4", 250 pounds or more or less, I don't know. And I usually just hide behind him when the pucks come like that. And he hasn't been in there the last few games. So I was thinking about this the last few days. I talked about it to one of my buddies. And I said, you know what? I was just turning my back every time those pucks were coming. I'm going to take one in the back of the head. So I'm going to have to start thinking about ducking and getting out of the way when the pucks start coming. So I was turning early last night a lot of times, and I was actually hiding behind the glass in a few situations where I pressed up against the near glass. But that one, I saw it come, and I knew that one was going to come and get me.
Ooh. So, Alan, let's start with what you've seen from the goalies. And we were talking about it. I mean, there's no way they can go back to Grubauer, right?
No, and you know, it's funny how everyone wanted to hold me out of the crease and had to have Grubauer back in there. You know, I always say, you know, the backups are great until they're the starter. And then you find out who they really are. It's a huge gamble. And, you know, he played great. And I agree with what Barry Trotz did in starting him. But, you know, the Blue Jackets were on to something. And every shot has been going to the crossbar. And I know that, you know, every team has a scouting report on what they wanted to do. But once Braden went in there, the first couple shots missed the net by Columbus. And the reason why, from my vantage point, and it was on my angle when I'm looking at the net, he looked monstrous. He looked like he had grown since he, you know, was, they had given the net to Grubauer. He looked like he was about 6'5", 6'6", big shoulders. And I thought that was a good sign. So I think the only thing you can do, and this has probably been the plan all along, if there was ever a falter, and, you know, they were hoping this wouldn't be the plan, was that Braden would get back in there. And, you know, it's the perfect chance for him to be a hero now and win this series. And hopefully his team can give him the goals that they need, and he comes up with the big stops. And his record against Columbus is spectacular. That's why I kept hedging that, you know, you can't go wrong with either guy. He's 14-4-2 in his career against Columbus. And once again, that garbage all goes out the window because you see Bobrovsky's, you know, playoff numbers over the years. But, you know, this year Braden was still 3-1 against Columbus. And I felt that two of the games he stole when the Caps weren't playing well. He stole the back-to-back set of games against Columbus. And then the next one was during that period where he was having a tough time with everything. You know, his mind was messed up. He physically wasn't right the way he was playing. And he got beaten pretty bad by them at Columbus one night. And it was, I think it was the last time he got pulled, and they kind of gave the net away. But I think Braden definitely has to be the goaltender from here on up, no matter what.
Do you get that sense? Of course, you played with the Caps, and you're an analyst now. Do you get the sense that we've been doing the show, you know, for years and years, taking calls, that it is the same old Caps? Because that's how we get the reaction, same old Caps, and we feel like that. And does that weigh on the players at some point?
You know, it's so hard for me because, you know, I was an undrafted hockey player, and I made the NHL by, you know, attitude and, you know, just believing that things are, you know, the past, you know, the other people's past is not your past. You've got to create, you know, what's given to you. And it's always hard for me to buy into that. And I know the first thing is you do get tired of listening to the fans, and they act like, you know, the Caps just have to put their jerseys on and win these games. But there are a lot of things that go into it. I feel for the guys that they have to live through that. I think that you have to fight through it no matter what. And if it's there, you know, maybe they need 20 psychologists in the room working with these guys at all times. But there's so many new faces this year. How can it be the old Caps? Because I look at the guys that are the old Caps. The guys that went in last night, Ovechkin was a beast. He was so dominant. He was a little nervous to start the game, and then he just got fired up and just kept getting better and better. He played almost 11 minutes, 10 minutes and 59 seconds, I think, is what he played in the third period, if the stat sheet was correct. I'd never seen Kuznetsov and Backstrom fight for pucks on the wall on the power play like they did last night. The reason that power play was getting all those chances and they were tiring Columbus out is because those guys were playing with so much heart and intensity. And John Carlson, he's been here. He had 3 assists. So you look at that, and it's hard to say that it's just the same old Caps because those guys were putting everything they had into the game. And that's why I really feel for those guys today is that, you know, they put it all on the line.
Alan, Jacob Varana sat last night. He was a healthy scratch. Where did you fall on that decision by Coach Trotz? And do you think we see him in games 3 and 4 in Columbus?
Well, I was kind of indifferent on that one because I watched that game a total of 4 times, once live and then 3 times I you know, put myself and suffered through it. And Jacob had a tough first period the other night. What we notice about him when he's on the ice is how fast he is and the opportunities that he can create when he's got that mindset to get to the net. And he had a beautiful assist the other night. That would have kept him in the lineup for me. But then I saw probably 5 giveaways. They're not always on the what I think is a giveaway. Doesn't always go on the stat sheet by the league, and I really don't understand how the guys do it. What they decide is a giveaway on the stat sheet. But when you're doing your tracking the game yourself, he had a tough first period. He looked up tight. He passed a couple of times and made giveaways when he should have been shooting the puck. So that one, but how many times during the season do we think Jacob Vrana's got to be in the ice? He's the reason we're going to win this next game. I think his speed is necessary. He's got to be smarter with the puck. I thought maybe, and I thought the way practices were going, Brett Connolly would be out because he didn't do a whole lot for me in that first game. I thought that would have been an easier choice if you were going to take the lineup, leave Veron in and take Connolly out. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're depending on every one of the guys that's in the lineup to, you know, not make mistakes with the puck, not make giveaways, not take bad penalties, and play with discipline. And ultimately, that's what cost them the game last night.
speaking of bad penalties, the worst, in my opinion, had to be Tom Wilson jumping into the pile in front of the net. He has to know that the refs have a target on him because of his pass. He just can't get away with that. He goes to the sin bin. I think it was within 15 or 20 seconds the Blue Jackets capitalized on it. He just can't keep taking penalties like that if the Caps have any chance in this series.
100% no, he cannot. And you know what? That just sucked the life out of the team for a little bit when that happened. And that's why that penalty kill, you know, I think that's why it got scored on so quick. He elevated. He left his feet. He jumped into that scrum. And in the playoffs, you don't have to be a tough guy. And I love guys that stick up for their teammates. But in the playoffs, they can stick up for themselves. And you're better off taking a punch in the face than taking a penalty. And, you know, that one really hurt the team. He's also a guy, a penalty killer they've been counting on. He takes that. And that gives Columbus life. And, you know, they were dialed in to what they were doing. They were physically committed. You know, they got a lot of goaltender interference penalties, but they were traveling to the net all night. They were making Grubauer pay early. Then they got the one goaltender interference on Holtby. But they weren't retaliating. And that's one thing you cannot do in the playoffs. You cannot retaliate. I don't care if it's Ovi, Wilson, Backstrom, Verana, whoever's in the lineup, there's no place for retaliation in the playoffs. Absolutely none. You cannot have that in a playoff game because, you know, the bottom line is winning on the scoreboard, and you can't do it by sitting in the penalty box like that.
Talking Caps with Alan May, Capitals analyst for NBC Sports Washington. Of course, Caps trail the series 2-0. You know, before you jumped on, Jason was saying, man, Allen's going to be killing the Caps. And EB was like, yeah, he's going to be killing the Caps. And I actually hear some optimism in your voice. The Caps have to win, if they're going to advance the series, 4 of the next 5. Give us the likelihood that happens and tell us how they will have to do it.
Well, bottom line, I think the mathematicians out there have it at a 14% chance of them coming back and winning this series. What I would think is they've got a 50-50 chance of winning the next game, and you've got to play the odds of winning that game. You've got to do everything. It's got to be everything you do has to be better. First and foremost, discipline. And then second is puck management. Third, paying the price, getting to the net. Continue to shoot the puck like they did. They had more traffic last night. The first game they had shots, but they didn't have traffic. You've got to get to the net, and not just to block the goaltender. You got to find those rebounds. You got to create deflections. Like the Beagle goal last night, you know, so their script was good early. It was good in the third period, but they cannot have those lapses. Discipline kills you. You can't have 3 forwards below the goal line in the offensive zone where you're chasing numbers. When you're chasing numbers and you got 5 guys ahead of you, you look like a dumb hockey team. Don't let that happen to you. Play a smart game. Chip away like the Columbus Blue Jackets did. Just chip away, and find a way to create your own momentum. And, you know, play to win. Don't play not to lose. And, you know, a lot of people wonder when you say something like that, but you have to have the attitude that when you're doing everything right, you're going to win. So just don't do anything wrong.
Alan, to that point, Neil Greenberg, we had on last week, you know, he writes for the Washington Post, knowledgeable hockey guy.
I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, he said that one thing that kind of irritates him about Coach Trotz's style, and I want you to validate this or not, is this true, is that I guess typically – that I guess when we're at home, he doesn't bother to take advantage of the opportunity to match lines. Like, he just wants to play my guys, not so much worried about the matchups. A, is that true? And if that is, how common is that? How many other coaches have a similar mindset?
Well, I think last night Barry would have thrown water all over that argument because he was matching lines. And the first game he was trying to get the Backstrom line out against the Panarin line. Last night, he decided he needed to do something different. And I saw Ovechkin's line, Kuznetsov, and Tom Wilson going against Panarin-Atkinson line and Dubois. And you saw Ovechkin put the hammer down on Dubois a few times last night. So they were matching lines last night. And that's what the big thing that coaches do in the playoffs. And
right.
It's the responsibility of those players to know. So last night, that argument has no weight. And the third period, you know, you basically had to – they had how many minutes of power play in the third period? I think Ovi had 7-plus minutes of power play time in the third period. So that also throws a wrench into some of your lines post-power play.
Right.
But last night, he definitely was matching lines because I tracked it all game long. That was probably the thing that I was most interested with last night. And then, you know, what you have to watch is how they do the defensemen. And – that's a big thing. Who the defensemen are out. I don't like when the third pair of defense units out with a fourth line. It seems like you're stuck in your zone all the time. And those are, you know, gritty type of players. But it's a weakness a lot of times on a lot of teams when they get that combo of players out there together.
What about in game one? Was he matching lines as aggressively or no? Because that's what Neil's comment was after game one, to be fair.
Well, but still, what you're trying to do is no matter what, if you're trying to match all four lines, don't forget the other coach on the other team. When they're looking at each other's benches nonstop. I go back and forth and I'm watching what the coaches are doing. They're cheating the whole time. And a couple of times, you know, the Caps line just got off the ice, and then, you know, Tortorella throws a line out there. So they're trying as best they can. Both teams are doing this. And then at some point, the visiting team usually has to submit and just start, you know, just rolling his guys. And then you've got to decide earlier who to eliminate. I felt last night in the third period that I said this between periods when they were down, Al Kokin, is that they should just chop down the three lines. You know, you already lost Burakovsky, probably for the series. You throw... You decide who are the other two guys that aren't doing a thing and roll three lines and just go with it. You know, play with your best, play with the guys who are going right now. And every night it's not necessarily your most talented players that are going. If a guy doesn't have the mojo, Mike Keenan, who won a Stanley Cup with the Rangers forever ago, he would just roll sometimes six guys. And he would just keep putting the pedal to the metal, and those guys would never get tired. And you know, the good players never get tired. They want to be on the ice, and you have so much more adrenaline and energy in the playoffs. But, you know, sometimes the best thing to do is shorten the bench and do it earlier. It always baffles me when the non-goal scorers or a guy that hasn't scored in 30 games is out in the last 3 minutes, 4 minutes of a game, and you're chasing a team that's ahead of you, and you're putting your guys out there who don't have a hope in hell of scoring a goal. So I say you got to roll with the big dogs when you can, especially when you're at home.
Alan, do you believe they're going to even the series?
Yeah, you know what? People would think it's impossible today. And as I told you, my attitude is there is only one thought they can have. I've seen a lot of good hockey out of them these past two games. I've seen discipline cost them these two games. That's got to be all they talk about today. They're not going to practice. They'll have meetings tomorrow. I can see this team fighting back because it's a scrappier version of the teams they had, because it's not as talented as the ones they've had in the past when you go top to bottom in the, you know, this Ovechkin era. So I think this team can find a way to scratch and claw and certainly get a win next game.
All right, Alan May, thanks a lot for joining us as always.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Talk to you soon.
All right,
thanks, Alan.
Great stuff.
All right, so it's...
He's a little more optimistic than what you thought.
Yes, he is.
It is kind of depressing that we get teased with unbelievable weather
Friday
to the point that, like, on Saturday I was out there coaching, and I did put a little sunblock on, but not enough. I mean, I basically got sunburned. And then the next day it's butt cold.
Saturday, I actually had to put the air conditioner on.
Good for you.
It got so hot in the house.
And for you, that's a big move.
Yeah, it was on.
You don't take that very
lightly.
It
was on overnight into Sunday. Now, Sunday was a lot cooler, so I immediately turned it off. Immediately.
Did you put the heater on?
Turn off the quickness.
No, I did not put the heater on. The heat is not on in my house right now. Nothing's on. Because it wasn't that cold. I'm just worried about the Nats game tonight. I don't know if they're going to get that in.
What is it supposed to be for the next couple days?
All that rain we just got, and they already postponed the Red Sox-Orioles game.
Yeah.
Now, it was supposed to be an 11 a.m. start much earlier, but all that system's moving all to the northeast.
I'm just wondering if the G-Dub Parkway is going to be open.
I think this 66 was closed this morning.
Roads were shut down.
I had to get off on Spout Run.
Beach Drive's closed already.
There are pictures of a car floating down Beach Drive right near where EB lives. I mean, it's literally
floating. They have to shut down. I mean, I live right there. They shut that road down all the time. Yeah. Constantly floods.
I took a route I've never taken to work. I mean, I cut through the entire city.
Did you know to do it in advance?
I did.
Because you were on, like, Waze.
Actually, shout out to Carlos. Somebody tweeted this morning, said, I hope you know the G-Dub Parkway is shut down.
Oh, he heard you.
Yeah, because I don't know that I'm in the habit of checking out traffic reports.
Right. We're definitely like 3 or 4
Nobody
accidents.
Else that listens to the radio should either. They should be listening to the jumps.
Right.
Don't listen to stupid news, traffic, and weather. I mean, that stuff's all overrated.
But or checking Waze. I'm not in the habit of checking that.
Listen to us bury the Capitals instead. Okay, let's do that.
Agreed.
That's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
All right, boys, let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. Rampage, number one at the box office. That's The Rock.
The Rock delivers with that cheesy movie?
Yeah,
34.5 million. They averaged 8,400 per screen. That's a pretty healthy average. Now, A Quiet Place finished number two, but it did average slightly more per screen. It was on about 600 fewer theaters. That one did 32 million. Truth or Dare did 19 million. Ready Player One, 11 million. So far, that's made 114 million in 3 weeks.
That's kind of a dud for probably the money that was spent on that movie.
I don't have the budget here. I'm not sure. But it's funny that, you
It'll
know.
It'll be fine because international money and things like that. But that
I mean, in 3 weeks, it's made over 100 million.
Now, they didn't have any huge stars like names in that movie.
And our guy, TJ Miller.
Right.
Not TJ.
And then rounding out the top five, Blockers. Did another 10 million so far. That's made about 36 million.
That's with John Cena, who's in the news for other things too, right?
Yeah, John Cena and his wife, one of the Bellas, I don't know, is it Nikki Bella, have announced after 6 years of dating Jason, she's back on the market. They're calling it quits.
My question is,
can I give you my theory?
Yeah.
She wanted kids, and he said, no chance.
Well, I think that's a good theory. My other theory is maybe the engagement was, he proposed to her in the ring.
Right. I mean,
yes, it was a big work.
I mean, what are you going to do? All right. So that was one of my stories.
There's a new movie coming out. I just saw a trailer for it last night, Cakes.
Yep. Give me the breakdown.
Is Joaquin Phoenix in this? You were really never here?
I don't know.
Is that? No.
Haven't heard of
that's
it.
That's not it. That already came out, didn't it?
Never heard of that title.
There was a movie coming out that looked really good.
Well, you just keep researching that.
And by the way, I want you.
Did I just put the show to the ground?
I'm sitting there waiting for it. I'm waiting for nothing.
If you guys,
I gave you nothing.
Yeah. If you guys remember,
I was hoping one of you guys had seen the trailer.
He said, "Is Joaquin Phoenix in it?"
I don't know.
He's in a lot of movies.
I know, but
it's a new movie.
It's a new one, right?
If you guys remember, and you guys meaning Cakes and Jason. Just text me a number today on a scale of 1 to 10 once you give Homeland.
Oh. Well, I'm just going to go online and give it a 4.
I'm not even going to watch it.
Because you just buried it. You said it was terrible. You said it's all filler.
No, I mean, I still enjoy it, still watch it. But it's there have been so many episodes which are action-packed. This is not that episode.
Okay.
Can you just tell me what happens? Because I don't want to watch it.
Well, you can't do it for people that are just listening now. You can't.
I wouldn't tell you
it's
that.
It's just a little too soon.
Just watch it and text me a number.
Soon. Jason, the movies that I have coming out for Joaquin Phoenix, according to Wiki, the titles are Don't Worry, He Won't Get Far on Foot. Is that it?
That sounds terrible.
No, hold on a second.
Mary Magdalene, where he plays, looks like he plays the big dog. Looks like he plays Jesus.
Plays Jesus.
And we're in a rabbit hole here.
The Sisters Brothers. Any of those ring a bell?
No.
No, that's not it.
It must not have been Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah. Must have been somebody
else. Actors mixed
up. I think it's You Were Never Really Here. I think that's the one. I don't think that's out yet.
It's listed as a 2017 thriller.
Okay, but 2017, it was released probably somewhere. I don't think it's been released here in 2017.
Ah, April 6, 2018, U.S. release date. According to Wiki.
Well, we'll pass April 6.
Yeah, but maybe there's a delay. I don't know. I'm just telling you, it looked pretty good.
Right.
And it had Joaquin Phoenix in it.
All right.
I'm 99.9% sure.
He is in it. Apparently, it received a 7-minute standing ovation at its Cannes Film Festival premiere.
Nice.
A 7-minute standing ovation. I mean, you know what that tells me?
But uncomfortable.
People in Cannes are bored. They're just bored. If you're going to stand and clap for seven minutes.
Who claps for 7 minutes?
It's very uncomfortable.
I don't think I'd stand and clap for 7 minutes if the Caps won the Stanley Cup.
You definitely wouldn't.
I'd clap for a minute or two, and I'd go buy all the gear.
You'd drink a bunch of beers.
I'd buy every beanie, every hat, every T-shirt, every shirt.
I did that with Maryland. I bought all the Maryland gear, and it's all dirty and thrown away now.
And then I always forget, when teams win, does the Pornhub traffic go up?
And also for teams that lose, because that's how you drain your sorrows, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's a fun...
It just came out naturally. I'm just silly. So this is hilarious. I mean, it's a horrible story. The Khloe Kardashian, Tristan Thompson story, right? I mean, you know, allegedly cheating on Khloe. But how funny is it that
you just called it a horrible story?
I think it's a horrible story.
It's not a horrible story.
It's a horrible story when you're about to have a baby and your husband or boyfriend.
You care about the Kardashians.
I don't care. I'm just saying. It's not about me.
I agree with you.
It's a horrible
story. You're sympathetic towards the
woman. It's not a good story.
The Caps losing back-to-back overtime games, much more horrible story than that one.
It's not horrible to you, but I mean, to the average person, if you're girlfriend finds out the day before she has the baby that you've been running around banging strippers on camera,
strippers,
that's not a good day.
Keep getting knocked up by NBA ballers.
All right.
Pretty
but
smart.
This is what actually makes me laugh. Tristan Thompson's dad says he's not surprised, and he's threatening to write a book about all his son's cheating.
Really?
See, there you go.
I'm gonna whore the son.
Wasn't his initial?
I'd read it.
What's his initial excuse? That he was having a conversation about religion?
I don't know. I mean, Valdez's theory, and some people have come on and said they support it. Like, you know, other guys who said they've seen that kind of scene, is that he was set up.
Yeah, but what about the girl coming back to the hotel with him?
Well, that's a
part of the elaborate setup.
That was another indiscretion.
If you say it was a setup that the strippers, like, started kissing him and throwing the boobs at him while he was just sitting there.
Yes, with the cameras.
Okay, that can maybe be a setup, but...
Right.
At least what I saw, I didn't follow it that closely. There was video of her like leaving an SUV with him into the hotel.
Of course, maybe they went to go have drinks.
Well, that's a different girl.
maybe they went to go meet friends and have drinks.
He's got Would girls. Your wife accept that?
She JP, be
he's got girls in every city. He's got girls in every city.
Yeah,
every single city. Yeah,
and didn't he leave his previous baby's mama for Chloe?
I'm sure he did.
Well,
why
yeah,
wouldn't
that's
he?
What happens.
By the way, all those girls are silly. The pictures of Tristan Thompson's exes.
Oh, the way they trounce like tigers.
You think he's going to be with a bunch of nubbers?
No. Well, Tiger was. Tiger had some. He had some.
There was
some
a couple
dimes,
of them.
And then he had some nubbers.
Yeah.
You can say this. Tiger did not discriminate.
Maybe they're looking at that big butt of yours.
He got sized. This, I guess, Coachella is going on.
It
and
is.
All the celebrities
yes.
are out there and. There was video of Justin Bieber. He was walking around and he was yodeling the Walmart Kids song with his shirt off.
Didn't he also punch somebody?
And then he punched somebody. Apparently,
but I think he punched the yodeling kid?
Apparently, there was a guy that was like choking a woman out, and okay. Justin Bieber is like an American.
He came to the rescue.
He's a modern hero. He came in.
Well,
by
good
the way,
for him.
This domestic disturbance. You're not going to find me getting involved.
Oh,
in
no
that.
Heroes here.
No heroes at all. He got in there and like knocked the guy.
Where
Here's
was
how
this?
I'm a hero. I'm going to find a cop.
Was this at a hotel?
I think it was at the Coachella thing, the outdoor.
It was
festival.
At the concert.
Hey, I don't know.
Hey, do you want to hear? Yeah. You want to hear the ovation the yodeling kid got when he took the stage?
Yeah. Is it outrageous or did?
It's quite a pop.
I don't know what to compare it to. Though. It sounds like he's getting a lot of.
Imagine. I know it's 7 minutes
I know
long.
What I can juxtapose it to.
Sounds like a rainstorm.
I can juxtapose it to the deafening silence when the Caps lost their playoff game last night.
Right.
The arena was
yeah.
eerily silent. And the place couldn't have cleared out any quicker.
You still watching all these games with your daughter?
Yes.
She's just growing up with heartbreak.
As soon as it's ingrained in her DNA like it is mine. As soon as they scored, she started crying and sprinted out of the room and said goodnight. All in one move.
Wow.
But she has a lot
How
of
bitter were the people that stayed there all night and then they had to go home? First of all, it's Sunday night.
Super salty.
And they got to get on the metro or get in their car and drive home. Takes an hour.
And
they have to think same old Caps.
Why did we go?
Why am I paying for tickets?
There's so much hand-wringing, too, about, the metro's closing at 11:30 and people in the arena are booing because they put a sign up on the Jumbotron that says the metro closes at 11:30. Drive to the game. Be a grown-up. Be an adult. Don't rely on one of the worst transportation systems on the planet to ferry you back and forth.
By the way, that'll be the
costs
this
like
is the
50
first,
bucks to park. That's why.
Not that Cakes is an endorser for Metro, but this is the first one he's ever been eliminated from. Like he's eliminated from the potential to be the endorser for Metro.
I try to be very sponsor-friendly for the most part.
Yeah, but you're not
regarding But I think there are two that are just completely out of bounds that I could never endorse.
Yeah.
One, Metro.
I know another
two,
one.
Two, cruise ships.
Oh.
I mean, I'll never go on a
what
cruise
if we
ship.
Got, I, knew, so, I would never either, but what if, a lot of times radio shows will do, or like old bands that are way past their prime,
now,
they'll
do
a cruise.
I will make an exception.
Cruise.
If we
get
did a Junk's Cruise, like G. Gordon Liddy, like
we all
in
get norovirus together.
And I got a crazy appearance. That's the only exception, is if I got a crazy appearance fee
might,
to go
yeah.
on said
so what's
cruise.
The third?
The third what?
He said cruise. You said there was another endorser.
Oh, I don't want to say it on air. I thought he was going to burn it. I would never burn it.
Okay.
I'll tell you off air.
Well, I would endorse cruise.
He trashes this company all the time.
I do?
Yeah, off air.
I wish I knew what it was.
Are they an actual endorser at the station?
Probably. Okay. Definitely have been.
And I trash them all the time?
Off air.
I think I knew.
Oh, I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
I'm 99% sure I know who it is.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. I use them all the time, and I like them.
All right, you have more entertainment?
Yeah, I do.
All right, so we'll come back.
I gave Valdez some new songs to put in the system, but apparently his phone broke.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious.
What he said.
Living your nightmare. I'm without a phone until Thursday.
I think it's anybody's nightmare. I mean, you guys pick on me.
Well, specifically yours. Sometimes.
What happened exactly?
The charge port is broken, basically,
what
and it
happened?
Won't charge.
Ugh.
So I don't understand why you don't resolve it. Like,
probably I did. I got another phone. But except it's not going to be here until Thursday.
Why? Because you ordered it or
yeah,
something?
I ordered it.
Oh, you got like a used one off Amazon or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I like that move.
I need to do that. I'm actually curious about that. You bring up an interesting point.
I couldn't wait 4 days. I'd have to get it.
I know. I would go. I'd buy a new one. If it cost me $800, give me what you got.
Exactly.
My daughter, this is just embarrassing. But so my 8-year-old, she wants, you know, her own little phone to play with. Now, I'm not going to get my 8-year-old a phone plan. The chances of that happening are zero. Okay. But I would get her like an iPod Touch, but those things seem to just break. I've had a bunch of those. They don't seem to last as long.
Mm-mm.
So I want to get her a used iPhone, right?
Right.
Or refurbished. When you buy them online, most of these places, unless you buy them from like a Matt Valdez, you really don't know the specific condition of that particular one because they sell like 500 of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So, but I'd rather buy it from a professional dealer than I would like a Matt Valdez, I think. I feel like it would be a little bit more reputable.
Right.
But how do you know
how can you trust someone like Valdez?
How do you know you're getting one, though, that's not all scratched up and hurt? It's you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, when you buy a phone online and you're buying like a used refurbished one, it's a roll of the dice. Because you could get it, and the screen could all be hurt.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Well, get a hoopty.
Because you can't see it.
Because you can't see it exactly.
Right.
I want to see pictures of the specific phone
buying. Well, that's what I did. I bought a
specific. But you bought it from a Tom Dicker.
No. Guy. It's an online store.
And you saw the exact one.
Exact one.
How much did you pay?
I paid $180.
For what kind of phone did you get?
iPhone 6.
What did you have before?
iPhone 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I need the iPhone 6S or 7, apparently. But maybe you can help me out. Is there a store around here locally where I can just go and I can look at the damn phone and buy it? It's like a used phone. If there's anybody out there that knows about this, please just tweet me. As I'd rather do that than order something random. You don't know what you're going to get. Right?
I would never order a used phone off of online, Amazon,
Valdez
anywhere.
Valdez orders clothes. Used clothes off of...
I know.
He's got like a dead guy's sweater.
He's a different person than me. He's a number.
Craigslist.
You know what I mean?
By the way, Jason, did you buy that NBC Golf? Or
think?
Is that Steve Sands hookup?
He bought that?
Yeah,
no, the first thing I said to him is...
Are you okay?
Oh, Steve Sands hooked you, didn't he?
Of course. My man.
He's not going to buy an NBC. You can't even buy an NBC Golf.
I don't even think you buy these.
Where'd you buy it? Yeah. As soon as I saw him, I said, you hooked up. You hollered at Steve, didn't you?
Yeah, Sands, he hooked me.
God, you got no shame. So you're just texting him back and forth. You go, hey, by the way, man, you got any gear?
I said that was a sweet pullover you were wearing when you were interviewing Kevin Streelman.
So calculated.
That's your hand. I like it.
I said, calculated.
I respect your hustle.
I said, why don't you hook me so I can wear it on camera?
I already forgot. What college basketball team were you trying to hit up?
Ultimate.
Oh, you know what? Jeff Jones. You know what?
Your follow-up. This is your follow-up.
Well, let me
reminder.
Tell you what Jeff Jones said.
All right, love to what hear it. Say? I think you told us a couple weeks ago.
He said, when I get back from the Final Four, I'll hook you. Now, I haven't looked at the calendar lately, but the Final Four was a couple weeks
ago. Yeah, it's in the rear view.
All right, Jeff Jones.
We're a priority.
Jeff Jones needs to get a little text from the papa.
I don't think we're going to be getting any Sienna gear anytime soon.
No, no.
Probably not.
He's
not looking good on that front.
They let him go, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is the rumor
that
Ricky P isn't involved there or is interested?
He's interested.
Of course he's interested. He's interested in anything.
He'll take any job.
If you're Sienna, why wouldn't you hire him?
Well, I mean,
because it's a
scandal everywhere he goes.
Because he's a big, giant cheater. That's why.
You know what else is? He's a winner.
He'll win.
Okay, but then you vacate the wins and you're bitter.
You think Sienna would care? You think Sienna would care if they had to vacate?
You fill up your stadium.
Yeah. I mean, he'll pay. The kids will get paid. He'll bang the local hotties. I mean, it's kind of a nightmare.
Jeff Jones' text on, hold on, Thursday, March 29th.
Yeah. Right?
Thumbs up emoji.
All right. That's kind of blowing you off, though.
We'll send it out next week when we get back from Final Four.
That means he's pawned it off on his equipment guy. So I actually think it's going to happen with the follow-up.
It was March 29th.
Yeah, but with a follow-up, he'll
That was, what, 18 days
ago? If he's back in the office,
He'll then tell his equipment guy to ship us some shirts.
So you're saying he hasn't been back in the office since March 29th?
No, but he hasn't looked at your text since then.
Right. That means I have to send him another one, a reminder.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
What do I say? Just gear, question mark?
No, say, how was the Final Four? You know how to butter
him up a
little
bit. You can't just go right for the kill.
Did you like Indy? Was it in Indy? I already forgot where they played.
No, San Antonio.
San Antonio.
You know what? Ask how about silly Alamo was. I can answer for you. Way
how's overrated. The Riverwalk?
Yeah, overrated. So overrated. Such an overrated town.
Did you run into David Robinson?
Yeah. All those old bits.
I'm actually going to say that.
The Alamo. What a friggin' waste of time.
All right, so we did this story, God, it must have been 6 months or so ago. Remember there was that Swedish artist that had the big giant mural of a penis on the side of a building?
Yes.
And they said it was art. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the neighbors complained. They took it down. Well, it's erected again in another, this time it's in Stockholm. And here you go. Here's a picture of it. They're saying it's all done in the name of art. It's a legit size.
I can see it. It's ridiculous.
It's beyond. I mean, first of all, it's four stories. But, I mean, that has to be like John Holmes' replica. Or so, you know what I mean? Like, who has that?
And that's right in the middle of Stockholm?
Huh?
That's right in the middle of Stockholm.
Look at that cakes. I mean,
they may need to rename the city. And it would sound almost exactly the same.
It's about the size of the Washington Monument.
It's perfect.
You know what they should do? They should put that in Ashburn right next to the bonefish.
Yeah. I thought it was perfect for old stock report. Stock going up.
Good branding.
What is a penis monument?
Can you stop putting it in my face?
He likes looking at it. Don't you understand?
It's a very aggressive mural.
It's very detailed too.
Oh, did you guys see this? Former Junkies guest passed away.
Ooh,
I'm very sad about this.
Hold on, I don't know.
Don't say it. He didn't
age.
74 years old. Had him in studio.
What's your name, scumbag? You are the lowest form of life on earth.
We had him in studio.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
We're in Atlanta. Hey, you maggots! Right?
No, we were in
Fairfax.
Why was he in studio?
He was promoting some sort of charity.
I think we worked at night. We worked at night.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but he almost bet on it. He gave us a coin with his picture on it.
Yep.
He's a good dude.
I'm 99% sure because I remember being in the studio.
Coming back to me now, but wow.
Yeah, he was in studio.
Passed away at 74.
74 years old. So there you go. That stinks.
He was amazing in Full Metal Jacket. Amazing.
Great movie.
If you haven't seen it.
It's been out for quite a while.
Who hasn't seen it?
Some people might not have seen Full Metal Jacket. I guarantee you A-Watt hasn't seen it.
Well, he's a dummy.
Of course, shaking his head, hasn't seen it.
Tanya Harding's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. We knew that. We also know that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is going to be on? Johnny Damon?
Your boy Josh Norman.
Norman's going to be on.
That was my kicker. Thank you. no one lets you finish a story around here. Jenny Finch. I forget how to say his name. Ogabanwale. How do you say his name?
The guy from American Gladiators.
How do you say his name?
Ogabanwale,
I think is how you say it. Something like that.
Is he silly?
Is that the American Gladiators guy?
I don't think so.
The other commentator?
Maybe he is.
They're still doing American Gladiators?
No, you mean the guy from... Where they do all the challenges.
The ninja bit.
The ninja?
American Ninja Warrior.
Right. Kusen and Ni. What? Try to pronounce the name, though, stupid. Good luck. And then last but not least, Shaq told a story on the Late Late Show with James Corden that he once got his credit card declined at Walmart, and simultaneously, when it ultimately got approved, he has the largest purchase in Walmart history.
Really?
$70,000.
Well, they did a piece on him on 60 Minutes. I'm sure maybe you talked about it the week that I was gone.
About 60 Minutes? Doubtful.
Well, just because you're always fixated on guys' net worth.
Yeah.
He had a big piece of Ring.com, which got sold for $1 billion
to
Amazon.
Nice investment for Shaq.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.